This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And that is how Data East became Kanye West.
Yep.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Jared Petty,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
Scoop.
We've got such a great show for you this week. We've got to kick off our year-end wrap-up coverage with the overlooked games of 2016, the worst games of 2016. Ooh. But first, Jared.
Yeah.
Do you have something you'd like to share with the class?
Yeah, I'm.
We're doing this live.
Are we doing it live? I don't know. I'm rather terrified.
No, this is not live.
Yes, I am. I'm stepping away from IGN. I've been offered a job at Electronic Arts. I didn't know there was going to be a soundtrack to this. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's Kids from School Days, the NES game. There we go. Yeah, I've been offered a position at EA, and I'm going to go over there and be a social content editor for Electronic Arts.
You're leaving us here at IGN and GameScoop to go to EA.
I am. And I am very happy about going there and very sad about leaving here. This is the best job I've ever had.
More happy about going there than sad about leaving here. I mean, you would just be here still. I don't know
how to proportion emotion, but
I mean, you wouldn't be leaving.
I have cried a lot. I mean, I cry a lot anyway. I'm a kind of sensitive guy.
But is it because of that ice skating anime show that everybody is always crying over here?
I mean, that's another great reason to cry. Okay. Yuri on Ice? Yes, that's a wonderful reason to cry. But no, that's just.
You can be honest. You're leaving because we're always so mean to you on GameScoop.
That's what it's all about.
I mean,
if you guys stopped bullying me, Justin's just so mean to me every episode. I did see a good. Somebody said it was so I wouldn't have to write the NAC 2 guide, which
is pretty good. Did you do the guide for NAC 1?
I did. Yes, I played more NAC than anyone, but. I may have played more NAC than Mark Cerny.
I would consider contracting you to write the NAC 2 guide. You do know more about NAC than anybody else.
It's breaking all kinds of rules and ethical regulations, but we may just make an exception.
Make it happen anyway.
Also, their wikis, you could just do it for free.
Yeah.
But
anyone can be the NAC 2 editor.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a blue NAC now.
Is there a blue NAC? Yeah, all right, so it's kind of like a
blue NAC. Pretend you're ignorant of the blue NAC. I know you.
I'm sorry.
We already talked about it.
Too busy being excited
about. Remember the Marvel Madness Easter egg?
Windjammers.
I don't want to get too far off track, but Jared, we are going to be very, very sad to see you go.
So rude, Damon.
No, you're not rude at all. I do love, you've got the new monitor there, and it zooms in on you sometimes when you're talking. I keep wanting to do this.
This is your last chance.
Just kind of like. Yeah. I don't know.
I was saying you're going to be missed.
Maybe not now. I'm holding it together, but I'm really sad.
Jared, obviously, we're going to miss you. You've been a big part of GameScoop these past couple of years. Thank you. I know the fans are going to miss you, too. You've become a fan favorite guest here on the show.
Well, you gave me a marvelous chance to come in here so often and do something I really loved. I love talking about games and listening to interesting people talk about games, and that's what this show's about. I love doing this. It's meant just so much to me, Damon. Thank you.
You know more about video game history than almost anybody I can think of, so you're a... knowledge and insight has been very valuable to
us all. I've been making it
all
up this entire time.
You're right. You know, I've been hosting this show for many years, and I've had many guests on the show. You're one of the good ones, Jared.
You're one of the good ones. Thanks, Damon.
Top tier.
Not like that Brudvig.
Thank you.
I love Eric Brudvig.
Thank you very much, Damon. That means a lot. And thanks to everybody else, too.
But we have two scoops left for you this week and next week. So let's begin your penultimate game scoop.
Oh, I love that word.
Which does not mean ultimate.
No, it means before ultimate.
Second ultimate.
Yeah, second ultimate. Wow, two scoops of plump, juicy raisins?
Not raisins.
No.
Video game news scoops.
Oh, yay!
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling you Juicy
Jared.
It
really clears up the show for me. This whole time I was thinking raisins.
Me too. I don't understand why we didn't talk about grapes more. Thank you, Justin.
I would never host a show about raisins.
Oh, you don't like raisins?
No.
What about craisins?
What the hell?
No.
Raisins are good.
No.
What about freeze-dried bananas?
Raisins are nature's candy.
What about raisins and mince?
We got two big banana chips for you guys today.
let's begin this week with our real coverage with PlayStation. What is it? Where does it come from?
Ken Kutaragi had a dream.
Over the weekend, the third annual PlayStation Experience was held in Anaheim, California. Mm-hmm. Everybody tuned in or caught up with all the big announcements from the show, I assume?
Yeah. I had to catch up, actually.
I watched the pre and post show that you hosted.
We hosted a pre and post show here. I think it was a great show. Stronger than last year, I think. Just lots of really fun game announcements. Obviously, the big announcement of this year's show was The Last of Us 2.
Mm-hmm. Part two.
Yeah. And Windjammers.
Windjammers part two.
Windjammers part one.
The next generation.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? Any
I can't initial... even say an act two. I can't say it.
Any initial thoughts on The Last of Us part two?
Yeah. It looks neat. No, I mean, it looks really, really cool. It's hard to say, like, it's as good as a tone piece, right? But there's definitely some hints in that trailer that maybe is not all as it seems. You can check out IGN's Rewind Theater for more on that. But I think the story is going to be taken in some pretty interesting directions.
I have a confession to make. Okay. And this is something I've been holding in for a long time, wondering if I would ever share it. Uh-huh. But I think now is the right time.
I think they know where this is going.
I played The Last of Us, but never beat The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. Did you play the snow scene?
No, I mean, it's been a while now since I even played it, so I don't remember how far I got. So I always assumed one of them died. I thought surely one of them died, but I guess not.
Yeah, that's not what happens at the end of The Last of Us. Both of our...
Almost. Close.
Yeah, it comes very close. We're ruining The Last of Us for everyone who hasn't played.
You don't need to tell me. I definitely want to make a point to finish The Last of Us.
But both those characters survived.
The snowy forest part is really cool.
I mean, I actually also...
It wasn't for any reason. It's just I didn't have a PS3.
At all?
Well, how did you play?
I had a 360.
All those Disgaea games.
Because the first three were on PS2. No, I think the first two, and then I played the PS3. Anyway,
there's a part of me that's like, but Flower, did you miss Disgaea?
No, I played all the Disgaeas. then when it came to PS4, I obviously played it, but then something else came out, and I just got distracted. So I got to make a point to come back.
I never thought it was bad, but I did always think Last of Us was overrated. I didn't think it was Game of the Year. I thought the storytelling was incredible, and I always thought the gameplay was just so. And
I think that's a fair critique to make, but I do think that it's easy for us to look back now and say that and forget the fact that The Last of Us did manage to marry cinematic storytelling and reasonably deep gameplay in ways few games had before.
Yeah, it's
and I think that the reason we were all standing there astounded then and it's easy to forget now is people have done that well since, but at that time it had not been done much and it was revolutionary in that regard.
I think Portal 2 and Uncharted had done it.
I mean, the only thing I remember doing
–
my enduring memory of The Last of Us is throwing bricks. hiding behind cover and just throwing bricks across.
Oh, those cordyceps love those bricks. They're like, where's that brick at?
Yeah.
And then they go right for it.
Yeah, you got to get that brick.
It was a competent, scary, engaging stealth game tied to a very well-told story. And I sort of agree on Portal and Portal 2, but those were less cinematic. Uncharted, of course, is a very close comparison. But
you're fired.
But those two games are, you know, those are all about out of the eyes. I actually prefer them because you're there seeing out of the driver's seat, whereupon The Last of Us actually managed to use cutscenes well. And you guys have heard me complain about cutscenes before. I don't usually enjoy them. But in The Last of Us, I was like, no, please keep talking because it was so well done.
Yeah. Well, it is extraordinarily beloved among our audience at IGN.
Absolutely. Like, it won the crowd cheering award at our live.
The crowd cheering award, yeah.
Science actually determined that. here's a thing about that trailer is that, like, when you actually, without the context of The Last of Us being a really good game and that people like a lot, it was really cheesy. It's like a girl is playing a crappy acoustic guitar song.
You think the new trailer?
In a house full of dead people? Like, what the hell was that? Like, if I was showing that to, like,
if that
somebody.
If that was The Last of Us 1 and you didn't have the context of it being a sequel to one of the most beloved games ever, it might not stand up on its own as a piece.
I thought it was like. I especially don't want to be involved in these characters who are, you know, so apathetic to.
Yeah, I do. I think
the carnage around them.
The Last of Us in the video game space kind of exists in the same place that Episode 7 did for Star Wars. You know, you have this franchise that cannot be mentally separated from what came before. The Last of Us was such a big deal in gaming that I think that they were able to get away with that because they knew practically everyone seeing this trailer was familiar with the property ahead of time to some degree. And I think that's why they could do that and why they were able to pull it off.
Well, and this is some, I don't think it's a spoiler because it's all speculation. It's all just guessing. But based off that trailer, some people think Joel's not really there. And maybe that's affecting.
Ghost Man?
Yeah, maybe. And that's affecting Ellie's
Ghost Dad?
Yeah. It's basically going to be a stealth sequel to Ghost Dad.
Starring Bill Cosby.
Wow. Or maybe not, but that's kind of what the chatter is.
That would be a colossally bad idea in so many ways.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. But that's like the twist. She's a very, very angry woman.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Ghost Dad. Just making I don't think we should be making Leonard Part 7 or Ghost Dad 2 or any of that at this point. That would be bad.
You know.
Anyway, I was a little surprised. If you had asked me, you know, if I thought they would reveal Last of Us 2 at PlayStation Experience, I would have said no. I think that I would expect that to be more of an E3 reveal.
But they heard the applause at the IGN House.
Yeah, that was it.
They had no choice after that.
No choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They weren't even working on the game.
Their hand was forced.
Also,
I thought the other trailer for the Uncharted spinoff.
I thought that looked awesome.
I thought that was. I totally thought it was Tomb Raider. And I
did
like,
too.
Well, what context is Tomb Raider coming out?
Yep, I've been conditioned to think a woman breathing heavily is Lara Croft.
Right, and then there's the idea. Well, I think this is a really good plot idea, but it seems like it's going to be about how like archaeological sites need to be saved from war zones.
Mm. That's interesting.
I think that's kind of what it looks like, Syria, right? Yeah. But And I thought that would be a really good topic for Tomb Raider, but it'll be totally fine for Uncharted spinoff too.
Yeah,
well, that's a really cool spin.
And they did announce, I might be mistaken on this, but it's going to be standalone, right? Sort of like how The Last of Us DLC was.
That's what I understood it to be.
Someone else told me that it is The Last of Us 4 DLC, but I guess I'm not sure.
Or Uncharted 4 DLC.
The Uncharted 4, yeah.
It is, but
you can play it on its own.
They've done that more and more often. Assassin's Creed did that too.
But we're still not talking about the fact that Windjammers is now available with online multiplayer.
I did want to bring up the fact that you know at PSX there was no shortage of '90s comebacks.
Indeed,
no kidding.
Windjammers is one of them.
Mm-hmm. I actually think Parappa. Like here's the deal. Like I really like rhythm games. I really liked Parappa, but it feels so much like a product of its time. Like that's a genre that people have improved on, and it's like to re-release the original game. It's like, man, I don't know. Like
I don't know.
I like the
PlayStation nostalgia. It's interesting.
I like the songs
and we do
a lot.
Talk about video game preservation. So even if the game doesn't play as well as it does in our memory, I think it's nice to be to polish it up and release it again.
And I think rhythm games can get away with that. First, video game preservation is great. Second, Parappa's got such great music, and that's some of the appeal right there. Is the songs don't get worse over time. In a way, they might even get better, and that makes it fun. Also, Windjammers with on the multiplayer.
Jammer Lammy.
The songs are dope, but just to hear Parappa saying kick, kick, punch, kick, like when you're pressing the buttons, it's like, ooh, we've gotten past that. Like I'm playing through Thumper right now, and it's like, goodness gracious, rhythm games have come a long way.
That's very fair. Again, I definitely understand that. I'm not sure I'm gonna go back and play it, although I'm glad they're doing it.
Speaking of all those 90s games and the original PlayStation, our first email this week comes from Brayton Hanna.
Ooh.
He emailed us at the email address gamescoop@IGN.com, just like you can. And he says, hello, Scoop crew. Thank you for, hopefully, taking the time to view this email. Few-year listener, first-time writer. He's been listening for a few years.
I got to stop you for a second. The Scoop crew can't view your emails, and here's why. Because Damon only gets to see the secret choices for... For 20 questions.
Damon hoards them. Yeah. Occasionally you forward one.
We don't have any window.
If someone writes in and says something nice about you guys, I forward it to you.
He does. He forwards them. It's really nice.
Yeah. It's very sweet.
Brayton says, my question is as follows. As a high school student born in the 2000s, I feel that I have missed out on many classic games from before my time. So, in order to expand my knowledge of classic games, I acquired an original PlayStation.
Oh.
However, I have no games for this device. So my question, Scoop Crew, is what... are the top 10 PS1 games of all time.
Oh, goodness gracious, Brayton. Well, you got your Final Fantasy 7, 8, and 9. You got your Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
And that's it.
You got your Ape Escape.
Yeah.
Oh, you do love that Ape Escape.
If we were all to pick just two or three games, we don't want to just throw 100 games at him.
Well, there's so many. That system is so prolific.
Just pick two or three games.
All right. I will say, I think every single one of the games I just said, except maybe Ape Escape, is available. You can get Final Fantasies on Steam.
Let's walk this back, though. They're remaking Final Fantasy VII.
It's going to be a completely different game.
Yeah. So I don't know. Should he play the original or just wait? And there's probably a better version of the original available now.
Well, that's
on
what
Steam
I'm getting at. Is I'm trying to think of games that are maybe he's got the original PS1. What disc does he actually need to track down?
If you're going to run out and grab a disc, one of the first to grab is a very imperfect but absolutely wonderful little game called Bushido Blade.
Yes,
which you can't play anywhere else. Yeah,
I was going to recommend both Bushido Blade 1 and 2.
2 is okay.
Well, hey, how are the Final Fantasy collections?
Hold on. We're not done talking about Bushido Blade.
He's rolling it back on Bushido Blade
because that is a very there's nothing else like Bushido Blade.
Yeah,
it's a one-hit kill fighting game.
Right. There's no life bar. It's ridiculously deep. It's very rough around the edges, but that kind of adds to its charm, honestly.
That's a very cool original PlayStation game to pick up.
Not exactly. Imagine if Nidhogg were really tactical.
It's in 3D. Yeah. It's a old samurai sword weapon fighting game. Where you can chop off someone's head with one hit.
Yeah, you choose a fighter and you choose a weapon, and they all handle differently in combination with each other. You have huge move sets that are fairly easy to learn.
So normally you're parrying and blocking.
You're parrying and blocking or feinting, and if you hit a leg, it might kill. If you hit an artery, or it might just maim. You're not really sure how healthy you are.
So why didn't it become a series?
It did.
There was a sequel. But they're both on PlayStation. Okay. But you mentioned the Final Fantasy collections or anthologies.
I've always heard are those the poor ones?
I'm not crazy about them because
that's where you can play 5 and 3.
Yeah, you know what load times with your Final Fantasy games, and there's a lot of that trouble with the PlayStation.
Well, that's what hurts.
Well, there's always a trade-off. Like the anthologies on PS1 added gorgeous FMV cutscenes that are just fantastic, but then it also introduced load times into the menus, and it's like it's like there's these trade-offs.
Yeah, in my opinion, I would avoid the Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy stuff on PlayStation.
I tend to agree. If you want to play those games, pick them up on Steam.
Yeah, or on DS.
But you mentioned Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night is, I think, everybody at this table is going to jump
right
there.
It's the only PlayStation game I've ever beat.
Yeah, but once again, that's available on Xbox Live Arcade.
It is.
And it's even backwards compatible now on Xbox One. So, pick up the original disc. You can't go wrong. But I'm still kind of racking my brain for games that are kind of trapped on the PS Colony Wars.
What about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2?
Tony Hawk 2. And I like 4, but I know that's an underrated opinion.
Tony Hawk 2 is good. But they also, they remade one of the Tony Hawks for Xbox
original.
Live Arcade. But I think that was the original.
Old school Tony Hawks is a good answer. A game like Colony Wars.
Colony Wars is a space shooter.
It's
very cool.
Klonoa's finally been re-released. Yeah. That's another PlayStation game to play.
I have a really good one.
What's one?
Einhander.
Oh, yeah! Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
One of the greatest 2D shooters of all time in the style of Gradius and Life Force. And it's only on PlayStation.
From the height of shooters, too. And made by Square.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's an absolutely lovely
game. Can you name another shooter that Square made?
I think it's their only one.
I have one.
Are you thinking
the very first game they ever made?
Yes. Oh, King's what? Knight. 3D Lode
King's Knight.
That's
King's
a shooter? Knight.
It's a shooter.
King's Knight, yeah.
It's what about 3D Lode Runner?
It looks like Final Fantasy and you're a little warrior.
3D World Runner
is what it's called. Yeah, 3D Lode Runner is a different thing entirely.
3D
yeah.
World Runner is with the 3D glasses.
I'm trying to think of any. I would say Crash Bandicoot's probably the only truly great like 3D mascot platformer on the platform. There's stuff like Spyro.
Spyro.
That I don't think ever got ported.
What about Tomb Raider is not fun.
The old school Tomb Raider, and they all got ports, and Sly Cooper got better ports.
The old school Tomb Raider is probably, it's like...
I've tried to play those. They don't work anymore.
No, yeah,
I know they're very clunky, but it's probably it's a very interesting piece of video game history.
Yeah, Crash is all right. I really do think Klonoa is the one to go play if you're going to play a platformer. But that's 2.5D.
Tomba's good. Tomba's good. That's another PlayStation game.
Goodness.
Another side-scrolling caveman game. Maybe that's the best.
Yeah, best caveman game.
You can pick up. You can pick up like maybe like Tekken 3, one of those.
RPG wise, Suikoden 2 again, which has been re-released some places, but Suikoden 2 is a must play.
What's that turn-based strategy game from Konami?
Dragon Force?
Vandal Hearts?
Yeah. That's good. And so it's Final Fantasy Tactics. Again, it's been re-released.
Shining
that's
Force
a great
3.
One. Yeah,
Tactics.
Whoa, Shining Force 3 on PlayStation?
Or was it on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think that's on PlayStation.
Vagrant Story.
That's also from Square?
Yeah, that's one to play. That's a great game.
I think that's Zach Ryan's favorite game.
Vagrant Story is wonderful.
I never played Final Fantasy Tactics, but that came out on PS. Yeah.
That's its original one.
Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the best games ever made.
I got to some music in Tactics.
Oh, it's my favorite Final Fantasy music is Tactics.
How broken is the story in that game? Makes no sense.
If you play it in the remakes where they retranslated it suddenly makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, you're right.
No idea what's going on in the original game.
I'm pretty sure someone's betraying somebody here. I'm not sure why.
Have you guys bought classic Final Fantasy music in 15? Have you guys been playing 15?
Oh, it's the best, yeah.
I didn't know you could buy more. I know you, I thought you, from the beginning you have Final Fantasy original. Yeah.
You buy it from shops.
Yeah. I just got the Final Fantasy IV soundtrack and it's so great to listen to.
I love that. I love that the characters shut up when you're driving sometimes. Yeah. Just sit in silence. Why does that make you feel so much like a real person?
It's great.
It's wonderful. Man, we're missing so much. I'm just like, I'm going to think of 50 things after you.
Intelligent Cube.
Thrasher. What is Thrasher? I never played Thrasher.
Can they hear Sean?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, maybe these mics might be able to pick
Sean them. Recommended Thrasher.
I haven't played it.
I got one. Go back and play Metal Gear Solid, the first one. It's the PlayStation version. I
Make
think
sure
it's still
you have
the most
case
fun.
With it, though.
Yeah, that's still the remakes have been kind of too slick. I feel like Twin Snakes.
I don't like Twin Snakes.
That's what I mean. It's too slick. That's why I like the original.
I forget Rival Schools.
Oh, yeah.
An incredible fighting game from
Twin
Capcom.
Twin Snakes, the first person in Twin Snakes literally breaks the game. Don't play it.
Okay, anyway. Rival Schools from Capcom. The original is only on PlayStation. There was only one sequel for Dreamcast, and it's really, really good.
Rival Schools is bodacious.
Right. I'm serious about if you get Metal Gear Solid, you have to have the case with it. Otherwise, you're going to be in real trouble halfway through that game.
Or you can just, look the case up on the internet.
What about Resident Evil?
The remake is so good.
Yeah, RE2 is that's not available
but
yet.
But they're remaking
that now. RE2 is totally worth your time now.
Okay, moving on, but sticking with PlayStation. This week, just 2 days ago, I believe, PlayStation 4 crossed the 50 million sold mark.
Wow.
That's how many PlayStation 4s are out there in the wild now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's a big old deal.
Yep. So, to put this in context, 50 million sold puts it just above the Super Nintendo.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Video games are bigger.
Yeah.
The industry has grown.
PS4 is going to be a monster console when all is said and done. Mm-hmm.
Would you believe it's still about 32 million units behind the PSP?
really? They sold 80 million?
82 million PSPs.
Wow. 82 million. I didn't realize
this. Because of its popularity with stuff in Japan?
Well, yeah, Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter was huge.
It's Monster Hunter device.
82 million of those things?
PSPs, yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess that's like...
Plus, like, how else are you going to watch your movies? You have to have a universal media
device.
So universal.
And when I was in Japan, like, if you walked into a train or you walked into a McDonald's on a Saturday, there were groups of four people sitting around, and they were all clawing. Like, you knew they were playing Monster Hunter because they were all doing the claw. To control the camera in Monster Hunter on a PSP was a nightmare, and you had to like contort your hands. An entire generation of Japanese people are going to have deformed hands because of PSP Monster Hunter.
I've been trying to sell my Spider-Man 2 UMD on eBay for 6 years. I relist it every 2 weeks. No one ever buys it.
I would love to have a full collection of HD DVDs and UMDs. I think that's really cool.
That'd be amazing.
Are UMDs like 20 years from now? Are they going to be rare?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. They'll be like boutique. They'll have little like players.
I mean, 8-tracks are really popular to collect. Yeah. And you know, they sound bad and they look really cool.
It's so
though.
Hard to predict. It's like, what trash do I have in my apartment right now that's going to be valuable someday?
What's the music format that came out in the 90s?
They made the little clip pack thing.
Mini disc.
Oh, and they had mini discs.
I had a mini disc player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other thing you're talking about?
They made a thing where it was like, they looked almost like Game Boy carts and you could snap them into a little music player.
Oh, I think that was mostly Pocket for kids. Rockers.
Is that what it was called?
Those are called Pocket Rockers, yes.
That was like around maybe like the late
90s. I remember those.
Yeah, the mini disc, like they didn't skip.
Yep. Actually, the mini disc kind of caught on in Japan. Again, when I was living there, you would still find them. And you could burn them, so you'd find a lot of like.
I remember the section
ones.
In Best Buy when at the height of CDs, which had the mini disc section. Like all the stuff was out on mini disc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would play. Cool. I would play like songs from my preschool on a mini disc sometimes.
So 50 million PS4s sold. It's beating the Super Nintendo. It's 11 million units behind the NES.
Okay.
And the 3DS.
It's definitely going to pass those.
Yeah, I mean, it's on its way to 100 million, probably.
It'll probably pass that
next
year.
I mean, to Jared's point, or Justin's point, that it's a reminder of the times. I mean, like, games are just bigger than they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we hope they always beat, you know, the previous system. But, man, the PS2 is going to be hard to beat.
Well, the PS4 is such a quality product. Yeah, I mean, it's a great system.
And the Wii is the highest selling of all time?
I think, I think it ended up falling off. It was on that trajectory. Maybe it is.
It might be the DS. It'd be way up there.
Brain training.
I guess I'm not sure.
There was some unified, connected series of informational computers that could just feed us this information?
It sounds like science fiction.
It's either the PS2, the DS, or the Wii. It's up there, but I think it's probably between those two.
We should get our modems out.
Does that count PS4 Pro?
Yeah, that does count PS4 Pro. They're counting it as all one system. Mm-hmm. All right, our next email comes from Frederick. He says, with the gaming year of 2016 soon coming to an end, the debate for Game of the Year will begin. Mm-hmm. My question is, what games, have there been any overlooked games this year that haven't gotten the attention they deserve and that you believe are worth checking out? Overlooked games of 2016.
I got one to throw out there right away. It's from the very beginning of the year, and I think people might have missed it because of that. Take a look at Pony Island.
I hear about this game.
Take a look at Pony Island. That is not what you think it is when you start playing it.
Pony Island is a PC game.
Mm-hmm. PC game, and it's
I think it's really cheap. I think it's like $5.
Yeah, it's not particularly demanding. That's a really nifty game that I think flew under the radar because The Witness came out almost immediately after, and I think it kind of got lost in the shadow of that. Not that, I mean, The Witness is probably my game of the year, but Pony Island's totally worth checking out.
Can you affix a genre to Pony Island?
No.
It is genreless.
It is a surprise.
It plays like a platformer, but it's got surprises. It's
an adventure game, right? But it's more like an adventure game, or as much like an adventure game as it is a platformer.
It's a game that trades on, it specifically makes itself look like one thing and then turns into something
like
else.
Like Frog Fractions? Is that the other game?
A little bit. It's in the same wheelhouse as that,
Did you like it, Justin?
I still have yet to play through it. It's been on my list forever. I bought it in, I think, the Steam sale months ago and just never got around to it.
It's a nifty little game. That's totally one I think didn't get its due.
I wish I would have known this was today's topic because this is my trade. You know, I almost exclusively play smaller, weirder games these days. But you'll need to come back to me.
I have one.
What is it?
Lucky's Tale.
Mm. Oh.
Wait, which one is that? The Oculus one.
It's really the only full Oculus game. I mean, there's a few that are like that, but that's like a full start-to-finish platformer. And the reason I like it is, I feel like I'm doing a book report. It's great. The reason I brought this game to show you is it's a 3D platformer, and you think, like, how could VR affect that in any way? It's so much cooler than any first-person VR I've played because it does this thing with the size of, like, you think, like, how big is Banjo-Kazooie's world? And you think about it living in your TV, and that's how big this game seems to you when you're in that space. You feel like a giant looking down on this tiny little figure, but the world around you still exists. So the world is this giant miniature world around you with little houses and trees and a huge tree trunk going up into the sky. And then you're platforming around that. And it's the coolest feeling VR experience I had, period.
The best VR games I played have all been third person. Mm-hmm. Res Area X is that way. It's a third person game. That really cool demo that comes with the Vive that has the, why am I forgetting this? The shooter. was that? Was
the one where you hold the two things?
Yeah, and you're control. It's one where you're. It's like a. It's very much like a shmup. You're controlling a ship where your remote is. Are we okay? That's a marvelous game, and of course, Super Hypercube, which is also third person, and that's another.
And that's why you're contouring a shape to go into a shape, and you'll hit it otherwise.
An underrated aspect of VR until you put the helmet on and understand it for yourself is exactly what Sam said, how it changes your sense of scale. You know, it's like when you look at Mario on your television, you don't think about Mario as being small and those trees being small. But when you're in that world, you're right. You feel like a big, huge, giant man looking down on a miniature world. And that's what makes horror games so weird, because even if you have a giant TV – you know, the zombie is still out. Like, if my TV is 55 inches, that zombie's what, 1 foot tall? Yeah. But when I'm in that world, that zombie's suddenly as big as I am, and it's right in your face.
You really react to the feeling of a presence next to you.
The change of scale is really a hard thing to articulate about VR until you're inside of it.
Lucky's Tale would certainly qualify as being overlooked, because, man, when people talk about VR games, they talk about Batman, Super Hypercube, Rez. Yeah. I don't hear anyone talking about Lucky's Tale.
But I pulled over everybody that was nearby when we were playing it, and it's just really impressive. It's the one game when I take it home and, you know, a bunch of people come over and we play the system, because I don't own one. That's the one that everybody keeps on playing and wants to play. And I just think it's cool that they took a chance on a standard. It's like, you know, the first time you play Mario 64, like how different that felt and how that opened up your mind to like how big a game world can be and how it can feel and how interacting. Like, that did that for me more than any other VR game. And man, I'm like 3 years ago sitting in the cockpit of, you know, Eve Valkyrie is like the same thing. I mean, that was incredible.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know, I may need to do some research and maybe pin a comment to the top of GameScoop, because I'm drawing a little bit of a blank. But I do want to shout out to Pac-Man Championship Edition 2.
Oh, yeah.
The first one came out, got 10 out of 10 scores everywhere, said it was just, you know, incredibly fun and such a nice modern update to Pac-Man. Mm-hmm. Sequel came out, it still got good reviews. Like, I think we gave it an 8.5, which is great on the IGN scale. It's a great game, but it didn't. No one really seemed to talk about it. It didn't seem to get a lot of hype. Yeah. But like, if you play that game, it's totally awesome. Like, it's great. It's got all these levels to go through. Just a fantastic high score chase.
I think there was a time on Xbox Live in which we were all on Xbox Live and only people were on Xbox Live. Like, that's been destroyed by Steam and PS4.
People are out
there. Like, PS. Plus,
high score chasing is a challenge because people are split on different platforms.
Right, there are more places for that.
And it doesn't limit you to one high score. Like, on, we all just arbitrarily chose the default level to all compete on when Pac-Man Championship Edition DX2 or DX came out, the first one, and we just all played it. But there were other levels, but I didn't care because the leaderboards only mattered for one. I think the options like made it so the leaderboards didn't matter for this.
I got another couple here too. Virginia's neat.
Virginia?
Yeah, Virginia's really neat. I don't want to say much more except Virginia's really neat, and you ought to check it out.
You should say more.
Virginia,
tell
Owlboy.
Tell us what happens in the end.
You need to tell people where they can check these games out.
Okay, well, Virginia, you're going to be able to. Virginia's, that was it PS4 and Steam?
I know it's on Steam.
It's on PS4.
Okay.
Also,
Virginia, Owlboy, which is a PC game.
I'm playing through Owlboy right now.
You like an Owlboy?
Well, I don't want to. I think it's a little overrated.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I really like Owlboy. And then
that one's only on PC.
That's PC game.
Well, Owlboy is like, I mean, it's taking on one of our favorite genres collectively in Scoop, right? Like 2D Metroidvania. Yeah. If it's not better than everything we've ever played, then it's tough.
I think
Owlboy
is the prettiest 2D game I've ever played. Mm-hmm. It's incredible that every single, like, that game is, you know, another one that's famous for taking what I think 8 years to make, just forever. You know, it was winning awards at, like, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to see, like, every random cave, every random hallway has hand-drawn, handmade elements that aren't repeated elsewhere in the game.
Yeah.
It's like, how do they do this? How is every single screen like a set-piece key screen in another game, but in this game, it's the entire game?
It reminds me of Gimmick in that, where you'll just go places and there'll be things that only exist in that
very
one point,
reference.
Only
That's
for
a
that.
NES
yeah.
game that only came out in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. And Japan.
I find the game, and it's not like the gameplay's bad. I just, you know, it doesn't wow me the same way that, I mean, it's absolutely worth playing for the music and visuals alone. Owlboy is I'm happy to have played it. I just don't think it's like a 10 out of 10.
One more, Kentucky Route Zero Act 4. This is an episodic game that keeps coming out at ridiculously long intervals between like episodes.
Yeah.
KRZ is dope. That is a marvelous, marvelous adventure game with a just killer soundtrack that makes these really weird, kind of esoteric story choices. And just when you think it might be skating on the edge of pretentious, something humorous or wonderful or beautiful happens, you're like, oh, no, this is great. And Act 4 takes what's previously been kind of a rural American South story and then kind of wheels in a healthy dose of Mark Twain. And it suddenly goes all Huck Finn on you, and it's wonderful.
Is that on PC?
That's on PC.
And yeah. You said Act 4.
Yeah, this is Kentucky Route Zero.
You can just jump into Act 4?
No, I would play all the acts in sequence, but Act 4 is the only one that came out this year, and it's going to be another.
They also sell them as, like, you buy the thing, and then you get all the acts as they come out.
Like a telltale.
Yeah. And Karen, all the acts are short. You can play through this whole game in a few hours. There's one more coming.
One of my favorite games of the year is Super Hot. Just a super cool first-person shooter puzzle turn-based game with a very unique look to it, an awesome sort of premise. It has a story that's very, very cool. I love that game. It's very short, so you have no trouble getting through it. It's on Xbox and PC.
Yeah. And we played the VR version of it, which is a different VR game.
Oculus version is out
now. That's what surprised me is it's like a sequel, basically. It's not the same levels.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Time only moves when you move.
Yep.
And in VR, when you're holding the Oculus Touch controllers, like it's actually tied to if your hand is actually physically moving in space. So you have to like carefully go for your gun while these things are coming at you. It's really cool.
I had no idea it was different on VR. That's great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
Except I can't put in those computer discs.
That's tough, yeah. Actually starting the game is tough. last week I mentioned SteamWorld Heist, which is a very cool turn-based 2D strategy game. I think the original 3DS version came out late last year, but then all the other platforms came out this year, and I played it this year. And that game's really, really cool. And finally, Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, yeah!
A very awesome, very cool top-down roguelike shooter. Art graphics.
That was this year, wasn't it?
That's on PS4 and PC.
I also want to give another shout out to Eternal Card Game, which I am enjoying as much as Hearthstone.
It's called Eternal.
Eternal. Very cool collectible card game on Steam now, and I think coming to mobile later. Continue to play it every evening. It's replaced Hearthstone as my go-to digital card game of choice.
Whoa. Yeah, I've been playing that too. It's good.
Yep.
Elder Scrolls Legends, I thought would be out by now, but should be coming very, very soon.
That was a good segment.
Good.
I was thinking like, oh man, we have to wait until we nominate stuff and then, but
yeah,
those are things that nobody else in the office cared about.
We may need to. I'm a little worried about Pac-Man.
Yeah.
We need
to play that game.
And now looking at the other side of the coin, the worst games of 2016. I think all our big reviews are out now. So we can tally up what games really missed the mark this year.
Hamartia.
Is this by our review scores?
So the first few are going to be our review scores, and then there's some others that Metacritic picks up.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Oh, sorry, didn't interrupt.
Well, like IGN used to, like old IGN would
review everything,
every single game that came out ever, and then we eventually just got away from that. So now the worst games, like we just just don't even get scored anymore.
So starting at the top end of our bottom end. Scale.
Okay.
With a 4.9 is that new TMNT game, Mutants in Manhattan, made by Platinum.
One?
TMNT Mutants in Manhattan.
You don't know if you're gonna get good Platinum or bad Platinum.
Yeah. Well, it's Platinum. They make so much now.
Are you gonna get Korra and TMNT? Or are you gonna get like a tier up from that? Is Transformers?
Yeah.
Or are you gonna get like Bayonetta?
Bayonetta, yeah. With a four
same
point
tier for me.
4.8.
I think Transform. Oh, sorry.
The 4.8 is Tharsis.
Isn't that dice game?
Yeah, which we had fun.
I totally like Tharsis.
Yeah, we totally had fun playing that. That's like another roguelike game where you're trying to make it to Mars in a spaceship with a small crew.
I'm going
to
go look up that review. Cool. I'm going to be an IGN commenter in the review.
And then you roll dice to like see what terrible thing happens to you and your crew.
Did the reviewer just not get it?
When someone dies, you have the option of eating them, but then it starts to make you go crazy. And we did some Let's Plays on it, and we totally had fun.
It's a digital board game. I hope the reviewer like understood that it was meant to be like a digital version of a board game.
You're going
to
go back, you reviewed like it. Mario. You don't remember.
IGN gave that a 4.8.
Oh, I like Tharsis. I'll counterpoint that one. I mean, fair enough. Like, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I was fond of it.
We gave that new Ghostbusters game that came out this summer a 4.4.
Ooh, that game was not fun.
It was like a top-down shooter?
It was a bad top-down shooter.
I think it was tied into the new movie, was it? It was just a new Ghostbusters thing?
No, I mean, they released it around the same time. That game just felt like, we had to ship.
The best Ghostbusters game is still that weird PS3 one?
No, it's the arcade game.
Yeah.
It's the arcade game, the real Ghostbusters.
Well, that too.
The four-player one.
The Wii one's really good.
I've never played the Brawler.
It's not a Brawler. It's a top-down shooter.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's like Gauntlet.
Right.
It's Gauntlet with Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, the PS3 360 generation game is really, really good.
Yeah but the Wii's the best version of that. It really is one of those games the Wii Remote makes more fun.
Yeah.
This one hurts. Hyrule Warriors Legends. We give that one a 4.0.
Well, that's because Hyrule Warriors, like, whatever. It was an okay game.
We gave it a 7.
Yeah.
Something?
Well, I like how everyone's like, how are they going to port this to 3DS?
Yeah,
it turns out
I mean, it's about numbers on screen. You just can't pull it off of the 3DS. It's a silly port.
Yeah.
It's a silly port.
It's a silly port.
This is, you know. this one I forgot even came out this year. Umbrella Corps.
Oh, yeah.
The Resident Evil shooter came out this summer. We gave that a 3.8.
That's another one of those things that people are like, man, that seems like a bad idea. Yeah, Capcom must know what they're doing. No.
Not with that
one. At least they didn't put Resident Evil in the title.
Harmonix Music VR.
Aww.
Got a 3.5.
Ryan did not like that game.
He likes Rock Band. Mm-hmm. Big Rock Band fan.
He probably likes Just Dance. He just doesn't want to admit it.
Who doesn't like Just Dance?
I'm not even sure what... I'd rather not play Just Dance.
Yeah, I'd rather not play Just Dance. That doesn't mean I don't like it.
I don't even know what Harmonix Music VR is. Some sort of VR music experience, I assume.
it's the Wii music of VR games.
That's a safe guess.
This machine has detected something. and then
those
IGN's...
Those are great and Dishonored. I love this.
that's my favorite part of Dishonored. The lowest review we gave to a game this year was Alekhine's Gun, and I don't even know what that is.
Nope.
It's got a 3.0 from IGN.
Wasn't that bad third-person, like, brawler adventure game?
Alekhine's Gun. I've never even heard of it.
I may have made that up. In my head, I think it's like this. It's got a stylish art style and then had neat sort of third-person Batman-y combat.
This is not
random. I may be
bells.
Thinking of a different game completely.
Broadening our search to Metacritic scores. Remember Homefront the Revolution?
Yeah.
Came out this year. That has a 48 on Metacritic, at least the PS4 version.
I think we gave it like maybe a 6 or something.
Yeah, we're not
like
much
that.
Higher.
Yeah, you wanted to root for that game, but...
You wanted to root for Mighty No. 9.
Yeah.
Aww.
Tears were so salty.
It came out this year.
Also
has a 48 on Metacritic.
Yeah, there are a lot of Mega Man games, dozens of Mega Man games, and many of them are among the finest examples of their genre ever made, and many
of them
are not.
It's crazy.
It's
such a sad story because a lot of people are like desperate for a new Mega Man game, and the creator is going rogue. He's going solo. Yeah. I'm going to make you a new Mega Man game on my own terms, and then they messed it up so bad.
Yeah, he unfortunately made one of the bad Mega Man games. He made Mega Man 7.
It's going to be okay though because I think Bloodstained is going to rule
in 2018.
So excited.
2018?
Yeah.
Is that for real?
Yeah, they pushed it back to 2018.
Demon.
I know.
We got to get a hold of you guys.
Yeah, let's get him on. Let's get him on the scoop phone.
He's got you whip him around the ankles. You pull him over.
Yeah. I forgot to inform you that Bus Simulator 16 is apparently not good. It got a 46.
Oh, man.
People like those Sims, though.
Well, there goes my holiday break plans.
I know. Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Fortune. Got a 43 this year on Metacritic. I don't even know what that game is.
I didn't play it.
Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Fortune.
Yeah.
All right. Can't parse that.
A game that looked really cool on PC called Slain with an exclamation point.
Okay.
Very cool. Very cool looking pixel art hack and slash game. It has a 40.
Oh, yeah. I remember you came over to my desk one day and showed me this. You're like, holy, look how neat this looks. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. Is that the tentacle one or is that a different one?
No, it's like a medieval hack and slash game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the lowest rated game of the year overall from all outlets is the PS4 version of that Ghostbusters game that came out this summer.
That game was so real bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. There you have it, the worst reviewed games of 2016.
Don't play them.
Don't play those.
Nope.
Play Super Hot instead.
Super Hot.
Except maybe Tharsis.
Well, yeah. But play Tharsis.
Now I'm wondering if we're the crazy ones. Like, if we go look at the Steam reviews, what did they think?
We totally had fun playing the game. Now, to be fair, you can have fun playing a bad game.
We also fight with each other a little bit in that Let's Play.
Did we? Well, because we disagreed on what we should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the term for kusoge?
Kusoge, yeah. It's the Japanese word for it. It literally means shitty game. Kuso is shit and ge is short for game. So kusoge, if you go to a Japanese like game store, there's always a kusoge corner. And
it's like
have
a beloved genre of terrible games.
Yeah. Is that how like Deadly Premonition gets so popular?
I don't know.
That didn't, wasn't meant to be snarky. I thought that
Deadly Premonition is like top tier kusoge, definitely. Okay. But yeah.
But the example is Spelunker. The original Spelunker for NES. It's just a crummy game where it's just hard to play.
And but is it like
you awkwardly get through these negative Donkey Kong-like levels, basically. You go downwards.
Is the comparison like how people like hate watch a show like Arrow now?
It kind of, yeah. It has two levels. Like, first, Kusoge is just any
like
bad
True
game.
Like True Blood at the end there.
Yeah.
True Blood.
But the second's like a beloved bad game. Like, there is that part, too. Spelunky is an example. Oh, what's that?
Spelunker.
Spelunker, not Spelunky. Spelunky is wonderful.
But Spelunker is inspired a little bit by Spelunky.
Spelunker.
Bubsy 3D.
What's that terrible?
But the NES era, that's where this came from. And then people actually really like have fond memories of how difficult and bad the game is.
Yeah.
Does anybody has
I love that idea. It's like Mystery Science Theater, right? Yeah. You know?
Oh no,
it was really fun to watch.
I have a folder on my computer with a badly made game called Kusoge where I'm trying to make the worst possible game.
That's great.
And like deliberately make the worst game I can.
Yeah.
And I've been working on it for a while. Someday perhaps the hero is Kusoge Joe.
Yeah.
He looks like Pitfall Harry kinda.
All right. So your goal is to beat Bubsy 3D.
Yeah, I think I can do that.
All right, this next email comes from Paul Laska in New York. He says, a few episodes ago, you toiled about Capcom sales figures and how Mega Man has never been able to break the top 40 in terms of sales numbers for Capcom. This could be the reason why a mainline Mega Man game has remained non-existent. This made me think about other beloved franchises with very vocal audiences. I know Nintendo will never release sales figures, but do you think the Metroid series could be suffering the same fate? Could it not be that great of a seller as compared to other Nintendo IPs, which are sure money makers? Could the perception of fan desire really just be a very vocal minority audience? What's interesting is that Nintendo has released sales figures.
That's what I was going to say, is Nintendo often releases sales figures, so I don't know what that's about.
And we know that the Metroid series has sold over 17 million copies.
Metroid is
that's
much smaller
according to
Nintendo. Than Zelda and Mario and Mario Kart.
But 17 million is... Let's to put this in context. That puts it slightly above StarCraft, NBA 2K, Half-Life, and Forza. Those franchises.
There's also been a lot more of them.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, to me, that would put it into the. That's not Jared. Hey, nobody's buying this. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
I had always heard. I mean,
they
Jared,
just made a Metroid game this year too.
Jared,
let's
maybe,
just be clear here.
Yeah,
Metroid
but not,
Prime.
Not exactly what people were.
What Hunter's
Federation
Force came out. I played it. It's not. Terrible, but it's terrible.
It's pretty terrible.
So it's always been my understanding, and this is coming like Super Metroid's my favorite game ever made. I think that franchise has always been more popular here than in Japan. I don't know this, but I just
it
hear
no,
that I hear
true.
Floating in the ether that that's never been a franchise that was big over there.
It's not big. It's just not as big as Super Metroid was here.
Yeah, my impression is that it enjoys a following there, but that in the United States, that it just has retained relevancy better. I mean, that's why you have Retro making Metroid games on the GameCube and them not be made in Japan. That's always been the operant assumption, and I think there's some truth to that. They sold. You go into Japan, and there's plenty of copies of the Metroid Famicom Disk System disc in like old game stores. Somebody bought them.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it was a Disk System game can't have helped it either, for that matter.
Well, so we know
saves. They needed to be able to save.
We know that it seems to sell pretty well. And I also think that the type of Metroid game that people are wanting isn't like a top-tier AAA, you know, game. They just want a 2D side-scrolling old-school
Metroid game. I don't
understand
it, Damon. It's not like it's so easy to sit here and like criticize a game developer. It's obvious. But in this instance, it's so obvious.
And like the genre
just
totally
make a 2D Metroid
come
game.
Come back, Owlboy, Axiom Verge, Ori and the Blind Forest, like
all
this
those
genre.
Castlevania games.
Yeah, and like why doesn't the original make the original Metroid game?
They did just, make Yoshi's Woolly World and a Kirby this year. Like they're not opposed to making good 2D games.
Just make a 2D Metroid. That's all you have to do.
Robots.
Getting all worked up about it.
To carry it back to a discussion we were having before the show started, one of the tracks on Kanye's track list that was put on the internet is Metroid Dread. That was the name of one of his TurboGrafx 16 album tracks.
Trolling.
Yeah.
And that is how Kanye West became Diddy.
Anyway, I do hope we get a new Metroid game sometime in the not too distant future. Paul says, by the way, Jared Petty is my spirit animal.
This is a good time for me to mention that there's a single piece of glitter right on Jared's head right here.
There's a piece of glitter
on my head? Don't remove it.
I love it. I think that's what makes, him such a spiritual animal.
How did it get there? I also feel like, Damon, you're very, very clear, and you're not being listened to. You're not being respected right now.
What am I being clear about?
You said don't remove it repeatedly.
Yeah, I know.
And
you moved it a little bit.
It was instinctual.
Jared has senioritis. He doesn't care anymore.
Where were you rolling around in glitter today, buddy?
Yeah.
It just kind of comes out of my body every now and then.
One of Earth's glitter sources.
It exudes from my pores. I am 21% pyrite.
We have to squeeze
fool's gold.
Oh, man. Pyrite and amber. Amber. They found dinosaur tail in amber.
Yeah, this is not dinosaur soup.
All right.
Anymore.
Man, I am off the rails. Damon, I owe you an apology.
Me an apology. But before we hop into 20 questions, what are we playing this week?
Secret. Did I mention on the show last week that I built a gaming PC?
I'm not sure. No,
I built a gaming PC.
You built it on Friday, dude.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
If you build it, they will come.
And in no way did Dan Stapleton help me. I did it 100% by myself. No, it's actually pretty funny. So
Dan just slowly got drunk while helping Justin build a PC, and they got to the more complex stuff later. And I was like, "Is this a good idea?"
So first of all, it's the most excited and animated I have ever seen Dan Stapleton in the 5 years that I've worked here. Yeah. And second of all, the way that we built it together, but the way that we built it is the way that a little boy helps his dad work on a car. Dan's like, here, hold this. He had me hold the light. And then he would do all the work, and then he would give me like one thing to clip in. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay. Cool. He's like, okay, Justin, take this and clip it into there. And I would go to do it, and I'd have it backwards. And he'd be like, no, flip it around. And then I would flip it around, and it would clip in. And I'm like, yeah, I'm building it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. Are you having fun with it?
He did never let me work the screwdriver. He always did that.
Were some moments.
Yeah, I mean, the irony is I built this, not some monster computer, but like an $1,100, like very high-end. It can play everything at ultra settings, and I am using it. I played through Superhot, and I played through Owlboy.
Justin.
But that's just because I was in the mood for a few smaller games. Like, I'll jump into some bigger stuff a little bit later.
Is it plugged into your television in your living room?
Yeah.
So you can sit on the couch and play?
So, yeah, I mean, an underrated benefit of it is the way that I have it set up is I have a solid-state drive, and that's what Windows is installed in, and then all the games are installed on this 2-terabyte drive.
Right.
And so Windows boots up faster than my Xbox. Like, if you turn that computer on, it's up and in Steam Big Picture mode in literally 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And the nature of our job is we get access to a lot of games, so I have the added benefit there of just having a large library of games to choose from.
The Steam Press account.
Yeah, it's that's not a benefit.
Secret.
Not a benefit available to everybody, but it is one of the perks of this job. And so
I have a living room PC set up, and I adore it. I'm so happy to hear that you're having fun with us. That's great.
I'm catching up on. That's why I'm called out. Shouted out, Pac-Man. Playing through Pac-Man Championship Edition 2, played through Superhot, played through Owlboy, and now that I've done some smaller games, I think I'm probably, it's sort of random, but I want to blast through this year's Call of Duty.
Ooh, yeah. That's insane.
Just play the campaign. I hear the campaign's really great, so I'll do Call of Duty and Titanfall next, probably.
Yeah, you got any Titanfall's fun.
Any interest in Civ 6 now that you have the PC?
Well, I'm playing on my television right now, so I need to figure out, I need to get some sort of couch desk solution.
Yeah.
So right now I'm limited to only controller games.
I'm playing a lot of, and I think Sam's playing a lot of Final Fantasy 15, and I'm super enjoying it.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like too. The most fun I've had with
Final
Fantasy.
The first 3D Final Fantasy I've ever played.
I've tried the others. I tried 13 and 12.
How good is it, right?
It's really good. It's the most fun I've had with Final Fantasy since 9.
It's wacky.
There's not a lot of BS.
Yeah, not a lot of BS. It's wacky and goofy and fun and silly, and I
understand
really enjoy
the combat. Oh my gosh. And when there's since I've never played a Final Fantasy since 6, there's little nods to Final Fantasy. I'm like, oh, I'm glad these are still in the series. But man, when I saw their little sprites, and they do their little, oh man, that was great.
Yeah.
I've become a member of the Master Race so quickly. I played probably
PC Master
PC Master Race.
That's still a strange term to use.
Yeah, I know. But it didn't take me any time at all to be like, I think I'll wait for the PC version.
No,
I played maybe 8 hours on PS4, and it was awesome. But I'm just like, they're continuing to patch the game, and the PC version will probably be even prettier. So I'm like, I'll just table this to next year.
Yeah. I'm so happy it's a game that's accessible and fun to play. Yeah, and it's Final Fantasy. I've really weighed my options, and this is the one I was like, I'll try it.
It's
so fun.
It's tremendously approachable, and it takes all the weighty Final Fantasy crap that you're supposed to get with the Final Fantasy fantasy game. But unlike some previous installments, it offsets that with a delightfully effective lightheartedness.
Yeah.
And it pulls it off, which
it looks
previous
like nothing
ones
else, right?
haven't in a
I mean,
while.
Yeah. The combination of environments and tech and stuff is just like, it's a fantasy game that's not a Tolkien ripoff.
And can, can we talk about that combat system? Not that, it could have a little bit more depth. I'm not saying it's perfect, but they invented a new RPG combat system that's accessible, but also has some depth to it. And it works. Like, how do you do that? Like, that's so hard to like.
Yeah, there's like hints of the last story in there. You can kind of maybe see where the thinking was coming from. And they really did, I think, nail it for the most part. It's a lot of fun. It's just a lovely experience. It's some of the most fun I've had with the game all year.
I love how those guys are such good friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like camping
boys
with them.
Camping.
Yeah, boys. It's Boys Night the game.
It's
boys
a Final Fantasy game that opens with Stand By Me. That's fantastic. I want that to exist in the world.
That rendition of Stand By Me is pretty corny.
It is corny, it fits the game. That's it. Like, I was watching that scene and I was like, I'm about to think this is way too on the nose. And that was just like, no.
I like reviewing my photos at the end of the night
the
and choosing
are,
which
are
ones
really
I'm going to save.
Entertaining.
I like they take good shots. It's like, wow.
They take really funny good shots.
Have you seen the photo bombs yet?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the photo bombs, and then the stuff that'll happen if you leave the campsite menus on, like somebody fooling around with their guns and just
those
fall down
too.
And trip, they're marvelous.
Yeah, that's good. My one complaint about the four guys, I think the main guy is like the least likable.
Yeah.
The other guys are up.
He's a little bit of a cipher for the player to project.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's kind of a Final Fantasy tradition to have a crappy protagonist.
What's up with that dog delivery service?
Oh,
I love it. Yeah, it's so crazy.
Also, it makes me hungry for cup noodles.
They don't explain it.
Yeah, the cup noodles thing is weird. I could do without that.
Have you been to the cup noodles quest yet that has the three different prongs?
No.
Oh, there's three different ingredients you can choose, and you get an individualized quest for each different custom cup noodles recipe.
But I got to say, I've been eating nothing but cup noodles.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Also Coleman.
Darren, do you have something you've been playing you want to share?
Yeah, I continuing to play on my NES Classic through Zelda the Second Quest. Not Zelda 2, but the second quest of Zelda 1.
Did you use the cheat to get there?
I did not use the cheat. I played through the first game. I've had a really good time going through that. The Legend of Zelda remains a delightful game. I really think it holds up quite well. If you are a Dark Souls-y type person and you've never played The Legend of Zelda, go back and play it. You're going to love it. The second quest is hard. Really hard, and I'm trying to do it without a guide, which I'm discovering maybe a terrible, terrible error in judgment, because that second quest was designed, I think, with a guide in mind.
I have a book you can borrow.
Yeah.
It has really funny drawings.
If you do play the original Legend of Zelda, remember that Dodongo dislikes smoke.
Dodongo does dislike smoke.
Pro tip.
And pro tips, go grab the first three heart containers so you can get with the bomb and the candle early, get the magic shield early, go buy the blue ring first.
Okay.
Tips guide.
Yep.
Just the tips.
All right, now is the time on GameScoop when we play a video game 20 questions.
Wow.
Hooray.
This week's suggestion comes from...
You saw it? You saw what it was?
No, I didn't see it. He's got it folded.
I can see through his paper.
Gimzu. Gimzu sent in this week's suggestion.
Where's Gimzu from?
I don't know.
Well, that's one of our best hints every week.
You're going to have to go
without
it.
If it's from Florida,
we're playing on hard mode this time.
We know that it's going to...
Playing on hard mode this week.
Hard mode, okay.
Everyone knows how this works. We have 20 yes or no questions to guess Gimzu's mystery game. Let the questioning begin.
Can you eat things in this game?
I won't answer because I can't say for sure.
Does your character wear a hat?
No.
All right. Was this game released after January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
All right. Reasonably contemporary.
Is this a Japanese game?
No.
All right.
After January 1st, 2000. Is this game, well, let's see. Do we want to do console generation?
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
Okay, did this game come out after January 1st, 2010?
No.
Okay, so we got our decade down. We know right around the window for it. Is this game part of the GameCube, PS2, Xbox generation?
Yes.
Okay.
Does it have sequels?
No.
Mm.
No sequels.
Wait, I don't remember. Was it Japanese?
No, it is not Japanese. And
Western game.
It's a Western game with no sequels from that period.
Okay. Is this game primarily associated? Is this game a exclusive on one console?
No.
Exclusive, okay.
So that's actually, that eliminates all first parties. That maybe is a question we should ask more often.
Yeah, that's a great question. man. Wish I was going to be around to ask it more.
But I guess there aren't really any it eliminates Microsoft first-party games, basically.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Well, but I'm just saying in general, like it eliminates all Sony first parties, Nintendo, and Microsoft.
Yeah, that's actually, it's pretty great.
A Western-made third-party game.
Well, it takes something like Metroid Fusion out, for example. Or not Fusion, I mean Prime.
Do you shoot a gun in this game?
Yes.
A gun. Is this a 2D game?
It could finally be black.
Well, it's almost, yeah, I was going to say black too.
We always, for some reason, we always think it's that. I don't even really like that game that much.
Very funny.
Is this a 2D game?
No.
All right, so it's a 3D game.
And you shoot guns?
You shoot
guns.
Number
13.
Okay, but is this a first-person game?
No.
Not first.
That's 10.
That's 10, okay.
Piano 3.
You want? Should we recap?
Yeah, let's recap.
No, because it's Japanese made.
You know, it's between 2000 and 2009.
Well, we know it's PS2, GameCube, Xbox.
So that Western developed, no sequel. You wear a hat. Shoot a gun.
You do wear a hat. I thought you said you didn't wear a hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't wear a hat. Sorry.
Oh, you don't? Wow.
You do not wear a hat. Shoot a gun. It is not in first person.
So it's not Red Dead.
And it's not a 2D game.
Not sure if you eat things.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Siphon Filter. No, but that got a bunch of sequels. No sequels, right?
No sequels at all. Well, that's a big deal. We could ask about a license.
No sequels, Western-made third-person shooter. Well, third-person game where you shoot a gun.
I'm sorry?
Was it a licensed game? Or is it based on a license?
No.
Unlicensed. Wow. No sequels.
This is going to be tough to narrow down at this point.
Yeah. Do we want to try for critical reception?
Yeah. I mean, is this a game that people really liked? Is it well-liked?
Yes.
Well-liked.
Why wouldn't it have gotten sequels, Damon? Why did this well-liked?
Oh, wait a minute. Beyond Good and Evil, maybe? But does anybody use a gun in Beyond Good and Evil?
I don't think
so. Usually hit
use
people
that
with
staff.
A stick. Yeah.
You don't shoot a gun.
All right. I don't think you ever shoot a gun in that game.
Shoot. Great photographs.
Yeah.
Oh. Did we say shoot a gun or shoot? Oh man, was
we
it
said
gun?
Shoot a gun.
I'm not trying to trick you up.
Oh, okay. I was about to get real excited.
Definitely a gun.
There's a game for that period with no sequels by a French
there's
developer.
There's a bunch of Splinter Cell
it's
sequels.
Not Prince of Persia, because that has
well, okay. Was this game developed in America?
No.
Okay. So maybe Ubisoft.
Yeah. I mean that eliminates Activision, EA.
I mean, it sounds like Beyond Good.
Well, I guess it could be Canada. I hope not. It
could be Canada,
but it's probably not. It's probably Europe.
That's a lot of games in that period. Goodness, that could be a
so. So I mean, that steers me towards Ubisoft. Mm-hmm. What were they doing back then? Prince of Persia.
Was it Ubisoft, BioWare? Who else? Could that be?
Why BioWare?
Oh, they're in Canada.
Oh yeah. I'll be annoyed if it's Canada.
That was the next gen. That was the next generation.
Yeah, and that had sequels, so it can't be that. Yeah, no, I'm trying to. Jade Empire. Well,
I got a good question for this.
All right.
Did it come out on GameCube?
Hold on.
Because so few third-party games came out on GameCube, that would actually help me.
No.
Okay.
All right.
So that means that eliminates a big library of games that I know. It's harder for me on PS2.
I mean, Xbox and PS2.
What are the big Xbox games? That's where you go from here. Conker?
Blinks the Time Sweeper?
Crackdown had Conker? A sequel.
Conker wasn't until the 360.
That was 360. What am I saying? Sorry.
Crackdown got sequels.
And that was a 360
Crackdown
game.
Was 360
I'm in the
too.
Wrong.
What about
console.
Other rare games? Grabbed by Ghoulies, is that the one?
Grabbed by the Ghoulies was their only game on the OG Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot a gun in it. I don't know that game.
Perfect Dark had a sequel.
Oddworld Stranger's Wrath didn't get sequels. It was a sequel, but it didn't get sequels.
Stranger's Wrath's a good one. Jeez. Oh, yeah. That's a smart.
So what are these all action games? Is that what we call them?
But that was first person. That was first person, the Stranger's Wrath.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You shoot a gun, so it can't be sports.
Shoot a gun. Maybe it could be sci-fi. Are there any things where you're shooting like laser guns?
Time Splitters thing.
That's first person.
From that period. Yeah, almost anything you're shooting
well,
in that period.
It's not first person. Yeah.
Right, this is third person. You're
I mean, like one
should back. Ask if there's you can drive vehicles in it?
Oh, like you shoot a gun. I'm picturing, maybe.
But it's not first person.
No, so let's just try it. We have a few more. Oh, man.
Ask if it's, I mean, is it open world?
No. It's 15. Since we're getting close to wire, I should let you know that Gimsu has promised, if you guys guess it, he will get a GameScoop tattoo.
What? Why didn't you tell us that so long ago? I wouldn't have asked a stupid opening question.
It would have been nice to open this up with.
I forgot about
we
can
that.
Get
wow.
It.
Oh, God. I don't know, man. This is a hard one. It seems like it'd be fairly obscure.
I think Sam's on the right track, though. Like, I've been picturing third-person shooters, but it could just be a game where you shoot a gun, but also do a lot of other things. Shoot a gun and talk to ladies, maybe.
Yep, thinking it's not open world-ish.
Or it could even be like an RPG.
It's not, yeah, it's not one of like the GTA ripoffs because it would be open world-ish.
Yeah, I love how it's not on GameCube, but it's on multi-platform, so it's probably PC.
I mean, it got the sequels, but like it could be something like The Getaway, you know, or something like
that's
that.
That's a thought. That's a really good thought.
Something in that wheelhouse. Wow, Wheelman.
That wheel man.
That was PS1 generation.
Five questions left.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time here.
Should we ask if it's an indie game?
No, there were very few at that period.
And I mean, we could have just asked if it was Ubisoft.
No, don't burn one on that. Because
what if it's not? We just know it was made in Europe.
No.
We know it wasn't made in America.
I asked America. I didn't ask United States. Canada could conceivably be a part of America.
Ubisoft,
part of North America.
Ubisoft does seem close. I mean, that's
a great idea.
I'd say Ubi. I'd say burn Ubi.
But I don't know what that leaves us with. Like Splinter Cell was that gen.
No. I mean, I want to use that question.
I mean, the only thing I can think about Ubisoft back then was Beyond Good and Evil. That year where they did Splinter Cell, Beyond Good and Evil, and Prince of Persia all at once. And that's the only thing I can think of.
Oh, man. When was it Trespasser? The game with the... No, that was first person. That won't work.
How can we narrow down wide swaths?
I think some people need to get in the studio, so we got to bring
this
home.
We got to bring it home. Okay, wow. We take it too long. Goodness gracious. I'm so nervous.
Five questions left.
I want to get this right.
GameScoop tattoo is on the line.
I mean,
should we do vehicles?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or time period or genre?
I like vehicles.
You like vehicles? Really? More than genre even?
Yes, I just said all right, I like vehicles. All
right, let's go.
Do you drive vehicles in this?
I hope I'm not shooting myself in the foot, but yes.
Okay, there are both in Beyond Good and
Evil. You can drive some vehicles, you can shoot some guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This game have multiplayer?
No.
Not a multiplayer.
That's good.
That's
a good
great
one.
Question.
It sounds like Beyond Good and Evil.
It does, but do you ever shoot a gun in that game? I don't remember ever shooting a gun.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is this game...
Sorry, that was on GameCube. That's out of the...
That was on GameCube. That's right.
Does this game take place on, like, you know, contemporary modern-day Earth?
Yes.
So that's 18. It's a knockoff of GTA.
I mean,
SOCOM. It's not open world. It's not open world.
Yeah, and it only came to,
Destroy All Humans?
Aw, dang.
That's a fun game.
But that's not contemporary. That's like 1950s, right?
I don't know. But is that open world too? Bully?
Bully was... You don't use a gun in Bully, do you?
Bully didn't get sequels.
Didn't get sequels.
Yeah, but you shoot like a slingshot and stuff.
But I thought we said shoot a gun. Did we say shoot or shoot a gun, Damon?
I think you said shoot a gun.
Okay.
There's probably a BB gun in Bully, guys.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is.
Do you use vehicles in Bully?
Where was Bully developed? Rockstar London?
Oh, I don't know which studio did that. Good question.
And I don't know what to count Rockstar as. It's probably American.
Do you play as a human?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's not human. Destroy All Humans.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry, that's why I asked.
What are we down to?
That is, I'm afraid, 19.
Mm. Oh, man.
Your last guess has to be a game.
Oh, it has.
It's your last chance to get for someone to get a GameCube tattoo.
So what were you guys playing around Bully and Destroy All Humans? And that was like kind of like getting vehicles.
Around that time, man.
Shoot
that
stuff.
Is a,
oh, what about like Guerrilla Red Faction?
Oh, yeah.
But games of deforming environments.
Well, but Red Faction, those all have sequels. I mean, that's a series, right?
Yeah, so, I don't know. Yeah. What are the games like? There was like a LucasArts game like that at the time where you shot stuff and things blew up.
Was it licensed?
I mean, if it was a Star Wars game.
It's well received. That's the part that's hurting my head.
I'm tripped up by like a beloved game that, you know, didn't get any, not maybe not beloved, but like a game that people liked that didn't have sequels.
What's this game that people are mad didn't get sequels in that period? That's what we need to think about.
What's the game with shark guns?
Well, there was Saints Row had shark guns.
Let's think for a second. Games from that period that people are always clamoring for sequels for.
It like can't be Bully?
Crackdown's one generation too late.
All right, Crackdown's too late. And Crackdown had two. I mean,
Should we just go with Bully?
I mean,
we have to guess. I don't think that's right, but we don't have a choice.
All right, sure. We'll say.
Is it Bully?
It is not Bully.
What is it? I'm curious.
Released in 2005.
Uh-huh.
For the PlayStation 2, Xbox, and PC.
Okay.
Published by Atari. Developed by Quantic Dream.
I'm still not there.
I am still not here.
The single player interactive movie / action adventure, Indigo Prophecy.
Oh, I would not have gotten that in a million years. No. Is that when Atari was still Infogrames?
I think it was Atari.
We made a mistake by not further narrowing down.
Wow, no, I would not have gotten Indigo Prophecy.
The predecessor to Heavy Rain.
Yeah, it's a great pick for a game. A great pick.
We would have gotten there
if you want to win.
We would have gotten there if we would have asked if it was an action game or something.
Oh, you know it that well? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like you said, Heavy Rain. It's that kind of game.
I don't think I've ever said those words, so I never would have guessed it.
Yeah. It's predecessor to Heavy Rain. It's a good game.
That was a real head scratcher.
So I can't remember if you drive vehicles or not, but I'm assuming that since you travel around to different locations, you have to get in a vehicle somehow.
I don't think you do. I think it's more like Heavy Rain where you just
jump to the next location.
The next scene.
Hey, Bully would have been a good one, though, huh?
Yeah.
Bully would have been a good one.
And I also am not absolutely 100% sure that you don't wear a hat in that game, but I don't think you do.
No,
I
remember the bald head.
Yeah, I remember the
character. No, not in Bully. In
Indigo Prophecy.
In Indigo Prophecy.
I think the game you were talking about is Bully. I think it was Bully.
What, you think there's a hat in the game?
Yeah, you're wearing a winter hat in that game, aren't you?
I don't see. That's not my memory, but
yeah, I don't know.
It is a gate.
Genzu has escaped having.
It's okay. Don't get attached.
You're welcome to get it anyway.
I feel like Kid Icarus.
That one is maybe a little bit more obscure than I would normally pick, but with his tattoo there, I thought that would be.
Yeah, don't get a tattoo. Impossible.
But next week,
you, buddy.
I've long wanted to put Jared's skills to the real test.
But I'm so bad at this game.
So this is the chance, listeners and viewers. Send me your most obscure game recommendations next week. And next week, we're going to do two rounds. We'll do the regular round and then a round just for Jared.
Yes.
I'm going to get murdered.
Make it the weirdest, most Japanese.
It can be a Japanese game, whatever.
Magical Drop 3.
From any time period, any platform. Magical Drop 3. Even if the game wasn't released in the US, just pick an obscure game just for Jared for his final game score.
Oh, no. I'm gonna get killed. Oh,
we'll send that to him next week.
We'll make it 25 questions.
Sure. We can make 25 questions.
I don't know what it's going to be. I'm going to get killed here.
That is all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Send your obscure 20 questions, suggestions for Jared to that address. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Sam.
You are welcome.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
I said I would run away as far as I could go. Teach the dogs to pull a sleigh through the white and drifting snow. You brought home a magic box in time for Christmas Day. I chased stars and busted blocks till the feeling went away. Needles in the carpet, ice behind your eyes. On my best behavior till Santa Claus arrives. In another castle, trying to survive the storm that took us all in 1985. You walked out into the wind to warm up Grandma's car, but you never came back in, lost beyond the fog of war. Scrolls unfold in front of me, and I am in control. Wires from the old TV through my hands and to my soul. Needles in the vacuum, ice behind your eyes. On my best behavior till Santa Claus arrives. In another castle, trying to survive the storm that took us all in 1985.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.